Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Join us at 7 p.m. Monday for Keeping It Brief, then come back at 10 p.m., and fit in with our wound up leader in nature and front page picks. Join the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction on Wednesday. Thursday, the split between In Our Craft of Spell and Arts and Double Helix with Aphasian and Dan. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry. And Saturday, a split with Gray Eyes and Dan Howling at the Moon in the Northern Wild, Bring You Bad Company, and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Saturday mornings, and Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday. Fridays are split between Break On Through and Echoes in the Dark with Pam, and Sit In with Aphasia and Babylon on Saturday, as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contests and prompts for all of our shows. Call into Rigid Poems, hang for the fun, and if you can record, add that to your poems or message it to us, and we will play your voice on air reading you. Good evening, Jean. How are you doing?
Speaking of voices, here I am. Now you hear it, now you don't. I'm doing well, Rex, and how are you tonight?
Good.
Excuse me. Pardon me. You doing all right? Things going well?
Yes.
Looks like a good board. I like it.
Yes.
Lots
this
of good
was.
Music, lots of good
oh yeah, this is definitely different from most of the Beatles. From this album onward, they walk a different tune.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I was listening as I was loading everything, and I'm going, I know this song. I know this song has a deep. Something scary about that. Because, you know, I'm never really on the money with anything. Anything a little different. I'm usually like, what? But I'm here, and I got this one. At least I know what it says, so I'm good. But it looks like you have a great board of poetry, a bunch of great poets. I'm looking forward to it. Absolutely. And just for a heads up, I want you to know we have Zach with us. So hello,
excellent.
Zach, and welcome to the party.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Good to be here.
Hey, Zach.
Good to have you.
Hey. How are you guys?
What's happening?
I have several forms of hydration in front of me, and I love Revolver. you know, it's like an acid album, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Post to the Weed album.
Yeah. Depends on who you ask. That's the way I look at it. But it's all good, man. All good.
Oh, yeah.
So I hope everyone out there in listening land is set up for some good poetry tonight. So, come on, Rex, what are you going to tell us about this? Because I know you always have wonderful amounts of information on all these songs and albums and groups that you put out. So tell us. Do tell us.
All right. This album called Revolver came out in August of 66. It's a move forward in their music, something they had started with the previous album, Rubber Soul, which they put out at the end of 65. So come beginning of 66, they took the first 3 months off before they hit the studio. And they were more involved in a little bit of studio magic, loops, automatic double tracking, various speeds, reverse tapes, reverse guitar licks, close auto making, and using different instruments. That song you just heard, it's Hindustani classical, which George Harrison brought to the table because he was into Indian music at the time and sitars. So he had a part of the a gang from a local Indian group help him out with the song. And they delved into that. They got into philosophy, Eastern religion, and esoterical. It does introduce psychedelia. And they first tapped into contemporary issues. We'll get into that with some of the other songs going forth. But anyway, it was their first dip into, as you got the sound off that first song we just heard, into something different. And it's viewed as the first album, seriously innovative, and walking past the origins and introducing more into rock and roll. And it's been sitting as one of those incredible albums for 50 plus years now, almost 60 years, as something that moved that generation and further generation in a different direction. The original album came out with 14 songs, which I got listed here. 11 of those came out on the American release. It got great reviews in England, not so much in America back at the time, but it did develop. A couple of the songs on the album Taxman and Eleanor Rigby didn't make chart toppers. And they even had from those sessions, Paperback Writer and Rain came out of these sessions, which then went on the their next album, Yesterday and Today. And also those Paperback Writer became a hit as well.
Mm.
As far as the boys, John was, they all had nicknames. John was a smart one, Paul was a cute one, George was the quiet one, and Ringo was the funny one. And I'll offer up a couple other things. John was kind of the, they considered him the bad boy of the band. And, yeah, he kind of was. And when it came to the weird and the wild, McCartney was definitely part of that. When they needed some attitude in a song, a particular piece, he was the one that brought the attitude and made that song what it did. What else we got? They did have some concert tours during 66, but it was their last time that they went live on stage. They never did Revolver on stage because of the intricate nature and the mixing of the album itself. And they knew that going in, but they weren't going to do it. They wanted to start the magic rolling with this. Then they rolled in 67. You had Sgt. Pepper, Magical Mystery Tour, Yellow Submarine come out, going a little even further with the psychedelia that they started on this album. So it was definitely, you got to look at this as one of their, this has got to be the peak of where their magic started to work and move forth. And what else we got? By this time, from 66, they had already given out a ton of songs free to other musicians across the spectrum. 63 and 64, they'd given out, Lennon McCartney had written 20 songs that they gave out for nothing. One of those went to Stones. There was some for Celia Black and other artists, Gordon, Peter and Gordon. So they weren't just popping out for themselves during the early years up until 65, 66. They were spreading a wealth of other music that they themselves never recorded, but did give out to other artists. And even later on, when they signed Badfinger in 68 and they took the name Badfinger in 69, McCartney wrote their first big song. If you want it, here it is. Come and get it.
Yeah. So, that's something. So wonderful gifts to give away, huh?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, they did give a song to back in 1964. They had a young guy who was who knew the Beatles and was representing the Stones at that time, asked them for a song. And they wrote up they had a song that they hadn't quite finished. So they gave it to him. And then one day they dropped into the Stone studio, 20 minutes. They finished out the whole song and they gave it to the boys.
Amazing.
And that's where Mick Jagger and Keith Richards saw how John and Paul worked and got into that mode of, that's how we need to work. So that's where their start into duality of a pair working as a singularity. Same thing.
Incredible stuff. Some longevity for both of them. Amazing. Okay. See, I knew you had a lot to tell us about this. I knew it.
Well, there'll be a few tidbits going forth. I'll leave those to the song.
Okay. Well, you want to get started? We can get started.
Yes. And since I screwed up, let's start with the last one. I think that is Jenny's, because I used that song to open up and forgot about it.
Okay. Got to get you. Okay. Okay, so let me put up Jenny's poem.
I mean Shelley A.B.
Cut it out, Rex. You get me confused.
I'm sorry.
We all know I'm confused to start with. Good Lord. Okay, here we go. So, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to give this to you because I don't really know what it says. So let's do Love You Too by Shelley A.B. I guess I'll give it a read. A voice, don't fail me now. Love You Too by Shelley A.B. My love, what on earth is going on? How did we live and forget? Where has all our time gone? My dear, our story's not done yet. Many moments have kept a tight hold on me. This pressure wasn't how it was meant to be. I blame all my past lives for what is now, but I can't blame then for the way I react now. Yet, I know that somehow we will come through. To move forward with you is what I did. Wow. We are so precious, my sweet. We exist in every second. Towards our light and love, we will always be beckoned. I will follow you anywhere. You are my saving grace. I could not live a moment without knowing your face. I know we will come through this somehow. To move forward with you is what I did vow. I blame all my past lives for what is now, but I can't blame them for the way I react now. Yet I know that somehow we will come through. To move forward with you is what I did vow. End poem.
Great read, Dean. Thank you very much. All right, Zach, what do you think?
I like how it starts with a bunch of questions. Such a confusion was evident throughout with all the questions, and there's such a fragility to the piece, like the poet will be able to shatter through the pages or something.
Nice, thank you. And Jean, you got to read it. What about you?
Well, when I look at the lyrics to the song, the actual song, and I look at this, this is almost like a continuation of that. You know, the song, each day just goes so fast, I turn around, it's past. You don't get time to hang a sign on me, love me while you can, before I'm a dead old man. That's the beginning of the song itself. But this goes on about vows and where we're going to go from here. And I think that it just kind of, it's like almost what's the word I want? I don't know. It's like the song starts here, and then it moves into the next chapter almost in this poem. And I think it was nicely done. I really do. I kind of got a little tangled up at the beginning, and I apologize for that, Shelley. But I just wasn't clicking on all four cylinders at that point. But beautiful job, and I think you really did a nice job with the prompt. So thank you for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I think it's you got the questions opening up in that first stanza. I think it's the second stanza because it's a repeat as a finish. I blame all my past lives for what is now, but I can't blame them for the way I react now. Yet I know that somehow we will come through to move forward with you is what I did vow. That moment of recognition that, hey, there are ups and downs, and the fact that you persevere through those hard times, which makes the good times so much more sweeter, because you know, hit on that. We are so precious, my sweet. We exist in every second. Towards our light and love, we will always be beckoned. I will follow you anywhere. You are my saving grace. I could not live a moment without knowing your face. I know we will come through this somehow. To move forward with you is what I did vow. There is that, see, like that note of understanding and recognition, even when the times get rough, you don't give up on what you've got. You hang tight, and you make sure to bolster each other in the moment so that it all hits on the right note all the time, even if those notes turn a bit sour now and then. So, nicely done, Shelley. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Good stuff. Okay, so the next song I'm going to play is Eleanor Rigby. So let me hit that button, and here we go.
I look at all the lovely people. I look at all the lovely people. in the church where a wedding has been. Lives in a dream, waits at the window, wearing the face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Who is it for? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Father Mackenzie, writing the words of a sermon that no one will hear. No one comes near, look at him working, donning his socks in the night when there's nobody there. What does he care? All the lonely people, where do they all come from? All the lonely people, where do they all belong? Eleanor Rigby died in the church and was buried along with her name. Nobody came, Father Mackenzie, wiping the dirt from his hands as he walks from the grave. No one was saved, all the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong?
That's the Eleanor Rigby's the second song in the album following Taxman. It offers up that note of a dark imperative lead in for the rest of the album. But this song, none of the boys played any instrument on the song itself. The backing track is a string octet, so that's where all the music comes from. That, but they, the voicing and the melodies that the boys offer really play out well. It, as McCartney wrote it, it's about the perils of loneliness. It revolves around the title character, Eleanor Rigby, who's an old spinster and a priest called Father Mackenzie, and how loneliness walks into their life. As she's the, she gets buried alone and nobody's saved, and he's the one that is left darning his socks in the night, because there's nobody there, and offering up sermons that nobody will hear. It gives you that idea of people moving away from the church, so to speak, and getting into other things in life and not paying so much tribute to the Word of God anymore, moving forward. So it is about life, death, loneliness, and great dawn.
Absolutely. Now, Rex, that is going to bring me to you for this read by Bill of a piece called Like Rice Waiting to Be Thrown by Bill Schiller.
Okie dokie. Like Rice Waiting to Be Thrown by Bill Schiller. Sad as a dove with broken wings, Eleanor, Lady Janet the Queen's pitched rice from floor in chapel after wedding. Now none shall notice her finger hasn't ring, no husband, no children, not even a dog. If life was a forest, she'd be the fallen log, or she'd be the fallen log. Priest of parish provided her with job, with smile for disguise. She bats her eyes when she bears him, hears him preach. He prays to not stray, day by day, attending to chores. His life incomplete, as holes and stalks stashed in drawer. Where do lonely people come from? Where to put. The Beatles' song provided no clue, but I've long skewed opinion. They arrive when people plain as me, plain as you. The human condition be like perdition. Judgment doesn't wait for us to die. Loneliness is not just isolation. It's a social infection that can strike all in the rampant conviction of time. Eleanor Rigby and Father Mackenzie, they only needed to open their eyes. If desire to be found, they'll keep head down. Hope doesn't come from the ground. And poem.
Nice read, Rex. Nice read.
What do you think, Dean?
I thought it was a well-done piece by Bill. It's a shame he didn't join us tonight to read it for us. But yeah, I think it was a good write on the prompt. I think that he kind of filled in some holes and kind of wove it together in a fashion that, you know, kind of explained it to us all and kind of got people looking at it maybe from a different point of view. Because not everybody, you know, sees it clearly. But yeah, I think the human condition can be like perdition. Judgment doesn't wait for us to die. Loneliness is not just isolation. It's a social infection that can strike all in the rampant conviction of time. Eleanor Rigby, Father McKenzie, they only need it open their eyes. If desiring to be found, don't keep head down. Hope doesn't come from the ground. You know, I don't know. I think he did a nice job with this, and it was well done. I'm usually when Bill does a write for your show, he usually has some kind of background tribute kind of piece to the artist. I mean, this is very different for him. And I think you did a great job, Bill, and thanks for sharing.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you, Gene. Zach, how about you?
I thought that the broken dove was a great kind of symbol to start off with, and the finger that hasn't rung brought to a sense of broken peace, and the loneliness is an isolated infection. I get that. I felt like I was climbing up the walls a bit with the life incomplete, like darning the socks in the night. There's like a morbidness to this, but there's also more of a peace than I feel to Eleanor Rigby by the end of it. I don't know. I feel like there's more of a moral to it at the end of it that almost kind of complements the song.
Oh, I like that. And you're right. I did that opening line, sad as a dove with broken wing, was a nice touch. It kind of offers up that note as both Eleanor and the priest are broken doves of a kind. They seem to be in the same sphere, yet they don't really notice each other or converse together, considering where they are and where they always are. She's picking up the rice in the chapel after a wedding. He's donning his socks late at night. And he does, as Jim says, he offers up a little bit deeper perspective. She bats her eyes and she hears him preach. He prays to not stray day by day, attending the chores, his life incomplete. And the incomplete angle is on the idea of not having parishioners, so to speak. And where do lonely people come from? Where to put? And then he hits the Beatles song provided no clue. But I long skewed opinion. They arrive from people plain. Plain as me. Plain as you. That's the truth in it. And he does offer the back end. If desiring to be found, don't keep head down. Hope doesn't come from the ground. Yes, I mean, the idea being you got to open up somewhere. You got to speak to somebody, even if it is just the lonely old lady and the preacher spending time together over tea, or just somebody out of place in need of something more than just the loneliness that dwells within. You got to talk to somebody. So part of that is you got to put the blame yourself, because you're not actually making an attempt to engage in life. So, nicely done, Bill. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, Zach, that's going to bring me to you. And this is a haiku sequence inspired by Eleanor Rigby by Evan Spivak. So, whenever you're ready.
Haiku sequence inspired by Eleanor Rigby. Autumn leaf twisting alone on an empty tree. Colors fading to black and white. On the fence, twitching his tail, gray squirrel. All alone in the crowd, the phone rings. End poem.
Great read, Zach. Thank you very much. And Evan is brand new. It's the first I've seen him on this show or any others. I don't know if he's been to anyone else, but he's definitely a first. So welcome, Evan. Thank you very much. And Gene, what do you think? Since this is short, sweet, and right up your alley.
It is short and sweet. God, I should have read it. Nothing personal. I mean, I would have taken it for real. I don't know. I thought it was an intriguing write. It came from a place I was not expecting. Don't ask me what I was expecting, cause, you know, but Autumn Leaf, twisting alone on an empty tree. You know, it's that right on loneliness, you know, colors fading to black and white. On the fence, twitching his tail, the gray squirrel, all alone in the crowd, the phone rings. Intriguing that it was, you know, you know, it's all about the loneliness, I assume, and being by yourself and the different places that can happen. I mean, it happens to us, it happens to animals, it happens everywhere. It's just, you know, we react to it differently, and, you know, animals just keep on going. So, I mean, I thought it was a clever piece and a great little brevity. Nice job with the haiku.
All right. Thank you, Gene. Zach, you got to read it. How about you?
I just was drawn by the image right away of the leaf, the singular leaf, kind of like pirouetting almost and being shook by the wind. And then the colors fading to black and white kind of brings to mind ashes to ashes. And the gray squirrel is very solemn, all alone up in the crown, the phone rings. It's very surreal, that little interjection of the phone. It's kind of like Shakespeare used to do in, like with the canons. That I forget what the term is, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, I think the phone kind of interrupts that thought process of what's going on.
Yeah.
Clever.
Yeah, I think Evan dug into the song and went with not just the shortness of it, but he embodies the song in a metaphor. Autumn leaf twisting alone on an empty tree. Autumn offering up that note to the latter days of life, so to speak. Twisting alone offers up that loneliness. The empty tree symbolizes that loneliness in the moment. Song epitomizes colors fading to black and white. Again, that pointed note to the latter days of life, the latter days of life of the year. On the fence, twitching his tail, gray squirrel. Now, the gray squirrel hits both notes with Eleanor and Bobby McKenzie, old, on the fence. Again, on the fence, that note to not going one way or the other, but sitting as that sentinel of not making a decision. Twitching his tail offers up that note to nervousness. And then the back end, all alone in the crowd, the phone rings. Again, that lonely note implies a ghost in the crowd. The phone rings, a phone that no one hears, even though there's a crowd. So it points heavily on that note of what Eleanor Rigby is all about, loneliness, death, the end of days. Thanks for dropping this in, and welcome to the radio with us. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. We're back to you. Uh-oh. Gene, are you mutating?
You know, but of course I am. Of course I am. Silly me. I should have known I wouldn't have got away with it. I known I wouldn't have got away with it. I don't know what I was thinking. Anyway, the next piece I'm going to put up for that song is called Jars, and this is by Babbler. And it's nice to have Babbler joining in on this, so let me give this one a read. Okay. Front door locks at 3 in the afternoon. Dusty school books hibernate while I lay across my bed. Thermostat clicks down the hall. I know every corner of this tomb. Every crease and crack in the drywall. White coffin that is my room. Escape into the city where consciousness scours pavement. Next bow to cerebral weights. Million bodies brush shoulders, but rarely clock a face. Marry the man who whispers my eyes are blue. Etch his features into place. What color are his irises? I haven't the faintest clue. His mind the face of Eleanor Rigby, gazing from the glass. Empty head, jar made to last. Who exactly am I waiting for? A world of lonely people, reared behind locked doors, unable to look up, rigidly trace the floors. If I lie down sidewalk against my back, could I see the skies, lonely people with hollow, haunted eyes? Or is that window past, empty jars, heads already smashed? End poem.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. All right, Zach, what do you think?
Wow. Talk about like the morgue of an isolated chamber of a room, getting all this brilliant corpse-like imagery, like embalming Eleanor Rigby almost. It's like she belongs there, her aftermath. Very morbid. Well done.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Gene, you got to read this. How'd this tickle your fancy?
I think that it was wonderful to see Babbler's poem up. It really was. I think she did a fabulous job with the prompt because she makes references throughout to the song. And I think that I like that the best, you know, because as I'm going, is mine the face of Eleanor Rigby gazing from the glass? Empty head jar made to last. Who exactly am I waiting for? A world of lonely people reared behind locked doors, unable to look up, rigidly traced the floors. She's just got a lot going on in here, but she's got enough references in here to really nod to the song, and I love that. You know, it's not just the use of Eleanor Rigby's name. There's just different sentences and thoughts that run through here, and I think that was wonderful. And as always, you know, I've always liked Babbler's work. I admire it. I think she's a smart writer. And it shows here. So thank you so much for sharing with us, Babbler, and hope to see more of you soon.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Gene.
Mm-hmm.
Jars. That note right there has me thinking of Canopy jars from the embalming ritual of the Egyptians, where they played certain organs in the Canopy jars for them to gather back into them once they pass into the next realm. Anyway. The what?
Alice in Chains, Jar of Flies.
Oh.
Sorry.
No.
Okay.
That opening stance is kind of, it's dreary. Front door locks at 3 p.m. Dusty school books hive in it while I lay across my bed. Thermostat clicks down the hall. I know every corner of this tomb, every crease and crack in the drywall, white coffin, that is my room. Or that opening stanza does kind of epitomize that note to a pyramidal structure with the sarcophagus inside it. And it's just a stark reminder of what is. I like that. The escape into the city where consciousness scours pavement, next bound to cerebral wake, million bodies brush shoulders, but rarely clock a face. I like that thought there. Rarely clock a face. You don't see all these people surround you. Yes, you don't look in the faces. You're kind of hunched over, shoulders squared, head bowed a bit, and you're just walking. Marry the man who whispers, my eyes are blue, etch his features into place. What color are his irises? I haven't the faintest clue. Again, that note to not looking into a person, which the eyes are the mirrors to the soul, so to speak. Yes, nobody's taking the time to actually look into another's soul. And then she offers up that note. Is my in the face of Eleanor Rigby, gazing from the glass, empty head, jaw made to last. Who am I waiting for? Again, that note of loneliness and almost a recognition of part of that problem is self. And then a world of lonely people reared behind locked doors, unable to look up, rigidly traced doors. That paints a lonely existence of a big city life where you have to watch everything and everywhere because it's not just such a rigid environment. There's danger out there, which increases the loneliness factor and the wherewithal of gotta be worth it. I did like the last stanza. If I lie down, sidewalk against my back, could I see the skies, three lonely people with hollow, haunted eyes? Or is that window past? Empty jars, heads already smashed. Is that window past? That kind of hits with the idea of that window in life, the happiness, that moment, you know, is there. I don't, has that moment passed me by? Empty jars, heads already smashed. The idea of hey, it's been too long, age is caught up in the moment, and I don't know what to do. That's quite the piece, Fabler. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, well, the next song I'm going to put up is called Dr. Robert. I have to say, I have no idea what this song is, because when I saw it, I'm going, Dr. Robert. So here we go.
Being my friend, I said you called Dr. Robert. Day or night, he'll be there any time at all, Dr. Robert.
A song. It's about a doctor in New York who hands out amphetamine injections to his patients. Each big city back in the day used to have these doctors who had no problem dispensing whatever you could get. Back in the day, you could get amphetamines. I mean, the little they call them little black pills back in the day. They were given out as candy, but as diet pills. You could also get a methaqualone or Quaaludes. We called them roars back in the day, 714. Very heavy depressant given out easily, the same as other drugs back in the day. Doctors had no problem dispensing, and you could always find a doctor in a big city like this, especially around the wealthy and the influential. Why? If they had the money and they can have the doctor come over right to their places or deliver them right to the door. So that's what this is about.
I guess that explains why I don't know who Dr. Robert is. See?
Yeah.
See? I was a good girl. Just saying. Okay. Zach, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece. It's called Supply the Demand by Ima Rima.
Supply the Demand. Dr. Robert, the Beatles sang, in tribute to my specialty, backed by the diplomas that hang and my offices that I be, once allowed to make patients feel good after heeding my advice, I prescribe wonders to help heal a downer to upper so nice. Many speculations be had on who my true persona is, that I'm professionally bad. I'm doing my medical biz, so much demand for my supply. Description is to keep the stars high. And Paul.
Great read, Zach. Thank you very much. All right, Gene.
Well, it's a great poem based on the information you gave me about Dr. Robert. Well written. I like the fact that he did it in Dr. Robert's voice. And, you know, one allowed to make patients feel good after heeding my advice. I prescribe wonders to help heal the downer to upper. So nice. It definitely suits the song. And I think it was a nice job and well rhymed. I'm a rhymer, but, you know, goes with the name, right? Nicely done. Great brevity.
Thank you, Gene. Zach, you got to read it. What do you think?
I think the key word was persona, because that whole piece just embodied the guy. Despicable. Well done.
Absolutely. This might have been the first song that kind of walked that angle. I mean, you had later songs, kind of like, Dr. Feelgood was one of those tunes about those types of doctors that easily dispense their goodies. And Ivan did a good dive into the song itself and rooted out and dropping in those nice little tidbits backed by the poems that hang in my office that I'd be one allowed to make patients feel good after heeding my advice. I prescribe wonders to heal. The down at the upper so nice. There you go. Down at the upper. Many speculations be had on who my true persona is, but I'm professionally bad in doing my medical biz. Oh, nicely done. But they were the celebrated whiz kids back in the day. How do you think places like Madison Avenue worked out? They weren't just drinking. They were doing the pills, too.
My God.
Nicely touched upon, Ima. Thank you for digging into that song.
I don't believe a word of it. Just saying. Anyway. So, let's see. The next piece that I'm going to play is called... Well, I'm going to double-check myself. For No One. Okay, so here we go.
Your day breaks, your mind aches. You find that all her words of kindness linger on when she no longer needs you. She wakes up. She makes up, she takes her time and doesn't feel she has to hurry. She no longer needs you, and in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears, cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years. You want her, you need her, and yet you don't believe her when she says her love is dead. You think she needs you. And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears, cried for no one. Stay home, she goes out. She says that long ago she knew someone, but now he's gone, she doesn't need him. Your day breaks, your mind aches. There will be times when all the things she said will fill your head. You won't forget her, and in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears, cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years.
Nice. That song was about McCartney's relationship with English actress Jane Asher, who he was dating at the time. It also featured Harrison, and Lennon had no guitar part in this. In fact, McCartney plays the piano, bass, and clavichord, and he's accompanied by Ringo on drums and percussion, then joined with a French horn from Hammond Civil of the Philharmonic Orchestra. And Civil said he likened the thought of the music itself and how McCartney put it together as a an account, a phlegmatic account of the end of an affair, which makes sense because it is kind of bluesy in its, or maybe not bluesy, melancholy in its feel. So that's what I got for that one.
Nice. Okay. Well, Rex, I'm going to ask you to read this.
Hello, Rodney. How you doing?
I'm going to ask you to read this next piece, Rex. It's called My Next Love's Out There Somewhere by MJ Donnelly. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. My Next Love's Out There Somewhere Still by MJ Donnelly. My next love's out there somewhere still, looking into a crackling fire. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. Pursing lips with languid eyes thrill, shuddering passion brings desire. My next love's out there somewhere still. With hearts combined, we would fulfill. On every dream, we would conspire. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. With fingertips just like a quill, penning feelings that much higher. My next love's out there somewhere still. A kiss as spring's warm raindrops spill in June's budding season attire. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. I need a heart with not much thrill. If you're selling, I'm your buyer. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. My next love's out there, somewhere still. And poem.
Nice. Nice read, Rex.
What do you think, Gene?
I thought this was an excellent poem, and I thought it was a nice take on the prompt by MJ Donnelly. You know, it has a nice feel to it, you know, with fingertips, just like a quill, penning feelings that much higher. My next love's out there somewhere still. A kiss is spring's warm raindrops spill in June's budding season attire. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. You know, I don't know. I just think I like the way it's done. I like the rhyme of it. I love the meter of it. I think that, it really is a nice right against the prompt. And, yeah, MJ Donnelly, I really liked it, and I'm happy you joined us tonight. It's good to see you.
Thank you, Gene. Zach, how about you?
Oh, well done. What a future shock to the system. It spoke to a lonely, wounded heart with the alternating sort of accelerating temperatures of fire and cold, but heat at the end. It was very comforting. Like the universe has something truly more in store. Such an optimism. It's really well done.
Nice. Actually, not often you get a V&L to play off music, which this does. That note to the first and third line from the open stanza being repetitive third lines to finish out the remaining stanza, and then to be the ending couplet, the finishing four line stanza. My next love's out there somewhere still, looking into a crackling fire. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. So that offers up a note of hope in the moment right there. Person lifts with languid eyes thrill, shuddering passion brings desire. My next note down is somewhere still. Again, that note kind of warming up to what's going on. Then that there is combined, we would fulfill. On every dream, we would desire. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. And then I finish. I need a heart with not much thrill. If you're selling, I'm your buyer. Sometimes I get a cozy chill. My next love's out there somewhere still. That idea right there. Not much thrill. And I don't need the pomp of circumstance. Just a warm, pleasant, sweet heart. And it's right. If you're selling, I'm your buyer. And that note, sometimes I get a cozy chill. That reference again to the fire, but also the fire of the heart. And my next love's out there somewhere still. That, again, that hope is fire in the itself. Nice, MJ. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay. Next piece I'm going to put up is called Blue by Jessica C. Wheeler. And I'm going to give this one a read. So let me see. blue. Her eyes, once blue, held oceans of indigo diamonds. How they sparkled like a sunlit sea. Now, behind her faded stare, eyes gray like stones. Mirror an absent reflection. A gaze once vibrant, stripped of any affection, left dim. You cling to fraying threads and follow her in shadows, among the remnants of a severed connection that was never yours to begin with. Her oceanic eyes once fell upon another, the one that drained every hue of blue when he departed, leaving her hollow, his pockets heavy with stolen hopes and turquoise diamonds. She is slipping through your fingers, unraveling around you, while you stay longing to stare into her once deep blues. But each gaze will be met with eyes of gray when she looks back at you. And
great reading. Thank you very much. Zach, why don't you kick it off? What do you think?
The eyes kind of tell it all in this one. Once blue, a past tense, so very solemn, like gray stony. I know that stare. Very soul-sucking piece, like a dueling of the souls or something, and just kind of just completely draining one another to the point of, like, there's no turning back with this one. It was very riveting. Well done.
Nice. And Gene, how about you?
You know, I have to agree with Zach. I mean, I thought this is an excellent piece. I love how she wrote it. But, you know, when you lose someone that you really cared about and they just walk off, it kind of sucks you dry. You know, it pulls that life and that flutter, you know, that we carry inside of us. And, you know, I love how she expressed that by using the eyes, what once were blue and then, you know, were nothing but gray. I really like this very much. And I think that, I'm glad to get to read this one tonight for sure. So thank you so much, Jessica. It's really a wonderful piece. And, very well put and expressed.
It is it's lovely, and it's sad in the reflection it offers up. The blue for the title offers up a note, because blue runs through all through this. Her eyes once blue held oceans of indigo diamonds, how they sparkled like a sunlit sea. Nice sad note in that. Now behind her faded stare, eyes of gray like stones, mirror an absent reflection, a gaze once vibrant, deeper into the melancholy angle. And then that note, you clinging to fraying threads, the severed connection, that was never yours to begin with, reality dawning. And then right back in, her oceanic eyes once fell upon another. Boy, that's heartbreaking there. Every hue of blue when he departed, leaving her hollow, his pockets heavy with stolen hopes and turquoise diamonds. Again, that notes the blue, the heaviness of the piece walking. And she is slipping through your fingers, unraveling around you while you stay longing to stare into her once deep blues. That's kind of a ghostly image right there. And then that last night, the last stanza, but each gaze will be met with eyes of gray when she looks back at you. That farewell note and goodbye. Damn. Nice, Jeff. Thank you very much. All right, Gene. We're back on you.
Okie dokie. I'm going to skip over I'm Only Sleeping for tonight. And we're going to play Tax Man. Everybody knows Tax Man. Most people don't like him either. Just saying. Okay, here we go.
1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Bye.
This is George's song. He wrote this as a protest to the tech wage at the time, which was heavily paid by the top earners like the Beatles under Harold Wilson's Labor government, amounted to 95% of unearned income on interest on savings and investments, and not a nice figure to be to have that much taken out of something that you earned. And Harrison's voice was slightly depressed for this song, and the guitar solos are with that's the attitude I was talking about with McCartney earlier. Those two guitar solos in the middle of the song are done by McCartney, and it was dubbed back in on the end to re-epitomize the sound itself.
Absolutely.
And it was kind of a this was kind of a this protest song was kind of a precursor to the punk rock era, which started in the '70s with the bands like Sex Pistols.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, when it gets quiet like that, usually means I'm supposed to do something. And the name of the next poem reflecting that song is called Render Unto Caesar by Eric Svensson. And put that up, and I have an audio for that. And let me hit the button.
Render unto Caesar, death and taxes conspired. Strap Caesar onto an ice-cold stainless steel hospital gurney. Caesarean without epidural, sterilized surgical instruments. No fancy thrifty lift off anesthesia to yellow submarine on. Et tu, Brute? Nice, neat Swiss Army knife did the trick. Worldwide bank vaults blasted wide open. Oi, oopsie daisy, the law is dear. When the smoke cleared, no gold bullion glimmered in weight. Just mighty fine fireproof computers streaming digits. World money currencies, carousel hobby horse, around and around. Luscious strawberry fields to boot, with Eleanor Rigby a-dreaming. Et tu, Brute? Yes, bitch. Death and taxes, put their arachnophobia gumboots down. Dance to jig as miners do deep in South Africa's infamous gold mines with ridiculous names like Harmony Gold Mine. Shoshaloza thundered through shaken up bank vaults worldwide. Fed up, death and taxes swung trapezium style around on dashing cryptocurrency chandeliers, locked stock blockchains dazzled, until best Beatles lookalike Keanu Reeves popped in. Steady now, chaps, don't upset the matrix. Bolshevik bullshot crap, they screamed at suave, long leather-coated Hackney. Got to get you into my life, old chaps. What can you do? What can you be? When you're with me, I want to stay ya. If you're true, you'll never leave. Death and taxes wafted down vampire style. If you can't beat them, join them, Keanu Prophet. Underfed and fed up, death and taxes gently laid Matrix Man down, and River danced all over him, flatly and outrightly, as Michael would have. Ruddy Rascal Rudyard Kipling skip in to save another bamboozle day. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, befuddled by OBEs, obits, and obituaries. Thrice smitten, twice bitten, love smote the day. Trust them scarab beetles to impregnate dungball society tax. Info.
Great read, Eric. Thank you for the sound cloud. Very much appreciated. Gene, what do you think?
Well, I think this is a great piece by Eric. You know, he always, Eric always has something to say. You know, I give him that, always. I loved his references throughout. You know, and I especially like these last two stanzas. You know, death and taxes wafted down vampire style. If you can't beat them, join them, Keanu proffered. Underfed and fed up, death and taxes gently laid Matrix Man down and river danced all over him, flatly and outrightly as Michael would have. Ruddy rascal Rudyard Kipling skipped in to save another bamboozled day. If you can't keep your head when all about... If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs, befuddled by OBs, obits, and obituaries. Thrice smitten, twice bitten, love smote the day. Trust them scared beetles to impregnate dungball society tax. You know, he really sinks his teeth into this piece all the way through. And I think he did a great job with it. I mean, he definitely was... You know, spot on. You know, as I say about Eric, a lot of times, you know, he makes all these references, and sometimes I just don't catch them, or I catch them, but I don't know what the hell they are because, you know, I'm just me. But I appreciate his work because I, you know, you can see the thoughts that go into it, and I really like that. So, wonderful job, Eric, and thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. A great piece and a great audio.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. Wow. What do you think?
Eric killed it. Death and taxes, right from the get-go, sort of the morbid Caesar on the gurney, the arbiter himself. This man is laying down the law with this one. It is more of an ancient version of the tax man, but with numerous allusions from the 60s and the BC era, told with a literary and cultural awareness throughout, with very erudite diction and great pop cultural references throughout with Kipling. Oh, not, he's not a pop culture reference. He's more of a literary figure, but with Keanu Reeves, I mean. It was a smorgasbord of a piece, kind of like a narrative fable, keeping to the feeling of like a moral tale. It's very well done.
All right. Thank you, Zach. Yeah. Boy, did Eric dip into this and drop a ton of stuff. I enjoyed the note with Caesar, that ice-cold stainless steel hospital gurney, cesarean without epidural, sterilized surgical instruments, no fancy thrifty liftoff anesthesia, yellow submarine on. Well, that didn't hit the idea. Yeah, because he rolls into that. Et tu, Brute? And you, Brutus? taking out the Swiss Army knife does the trick. And I like that last line. When the smoke cleared, no gold bullion glimmered in waste. Now, that's a nice note to thought to 1971 when the American currency and the world currency came off the gold standard, and then all hell broke loose because, hey, if you don't adhere to a gold standard, you can print money like it's mad, like it's monopoly money. And then he's offering up today's angle, the mighty fine fireproof computer streaming digits, world money currencies carousel hobby horse around and around. Yeah. Hey, today, You don't even have to ask Congress to give you money. You just push a bloody button and you print it or you send it across the airwaves. I like that note. Death and taxes. Then you got that note to where the gold came from earlier. South Africa was the big money angle since way back then. What else we got? And all the references he drops in here for the songs. Yellow Submarine, A Day in the Life, Death and Taxes, Walking Down Vampire Style. dropping. It got in a Keanu Reeves in here with the gently laid Matrix. Yeah, just follow out the Matrix. You'll be all right. We know what we're doing. And I did, Gene read that line, our losing there is befuddled by OBEs, obits, and obituaries. Oh, nicely done, Eric. And thrice smitten, twice bitten, and no two, once bitten, twice shy, that song. But he's got the scarab beetle running to impregnate dung ball society tax. Yeah. With a way of putting out more and more tax money goes to shit.
Literally.
Oh, Eric, this was a fun piece. You had way too much good times with this one. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Okay, Zach, the next piece I'm going to ask you to read, this is called Taxed Man by Blue Right 76. So whenever you're ready.
Taxed Man. From the horizon clear came the gush of sand clouds, never to be shrugged a mirage. It came on hooved devils, scars and tooth bared, hasty for the bloody rivers, loot and death their fervor. They glossed up the turkey in the name of God, the name of their God. A few centuries later, when slaves more they craved, and much sweet from the loot, they thirsted for life's sweat. Hence crafted the tax, spared them innocence, after the defeat and surrender, to decorate their pockets with tax after tax, loot from the farmer's rice bag, some more from the merchant, golds and gems from their king, taxes to be spared became their way of life. Centuries gone now, freedom on our papers. We move about them like sheep, grazing and walking under hot suns. Pay them wool every year from hide and hands. Tax the cost of peace and love. Within the country's umbrella, man sweats and then pays. If there is a prize, on them all things good and pump.
Great read, Zach. Thank you very much. This is a late entry, so thank you, Blue Right. Gene, another bite at the woolly missile of tax.
We all love taxes. They tax us when they pass. They tax us when we spend it. They tax us here. I think we should throw some tea bags head for the bodies of water here. Second.
Hey, as long as you're reflecting on tea itself and not the tea bagging.
Chamomile tea.
I get the general impression that they don't mind tea bagging a lot of us anyway. They consider us stupid stiff.
They just want our money. They want more and more and more and more and more and more and more money. When I sit down and I look at it, I just can't comprehend. How many different times do you want to save that same dollar? Gets a little silly, you know. But anyway, I thought this was a wonderful write by Blue Right 76, definitely. For centuries later, when slaves more they craved, and much sweet from the loot, they thirsted for life's sweat. Hence crafted the tax, to spare them innocence. After the defeat and surrender, to decorate their pockets with tax after tax. Loot from the farmer's rice bag, some more from the merchant, gold and gems from their king, tax to be spared, became the way of life. That just a little tiny piece of this, you know, because it all just goes together. There's just plenty of excuses for taking our money. I'm going to be a good girl, and I'm going to say, thank you for sharing with us, MJ Donnelly. Got my read something out on the other screen. Blue Right 76, I think you did a fine job with this piece, and I think you really nailed the prompt. So well done, and thanks for sharing.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. Zach, you got to read this. How about you?
Just summoning that, like, gnarly root of all evil feeling the entire time and really honing in on it throughout. It's just striking on that chord over and over. Really well done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Stuba did a great job. I like that those last two lines in that first stanza. They glossed up their turkey in the name of their God. Boy, it's that offer up the note. Hey, let's pretty it. They won't notice it. And we'll just say it's godlike. Well, the godlike angle being the gold itself, and the glossing up the turkey is the masses won't matter as long as we give them a little bit of this. They'll think it's okay. Nice and touchy. I like them. Decorate their pockets with tax after tax. Yes, loot from the farmer's rice bags, more from the merchant. We move about them like sheep, grazing and walking under hot sun. Pay them wool every year from hide and hands, tax the cost of peace and love. Yeah, we tax peace and love so much that they hate the hell out of us. And within the country's umbrella, man sweats and then pays, because there is a prize on them all good things. Yeah, the prize is us handing everything we own over to them for nothing in return. Thank you, Suba. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's a lot of truth in it.
All right.
Well,
so where do you think?
Well, I'm trying to get there, Rex. You know, my mask decided I needed to take a break. Not sure what the deal is with that, but I want to kick it back in here. There we go. Okay, so the next song is Tomorrow Never Knows. I'm going to put that up, and then we will go from there. So here goes.
Walking in that realm of dropping off the edge, so to speak. John Lennon wrote this, and it's they sort of looked at it as the greatest leap into the future as far as the Beatles were at that point in time because of how they put this together. It features processed vocals, reverse guitar, loop tape effects accompanying a strongly syncopated repetitive drum beat. Lennon adapted lyrics from Timothy Leary's book, The Psychedelic Experience, a manual based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead, which he equates the translations to about through LSD with spiritually enlightened state achieved through meditation. It was originally called, well, known as Mark One, then The Void, and then through one of Star's malapropisms ended up being Tomorrow Never Knows. they had Lennon wanted his voice to sound like the Dalai Lama, so George Martin had him. What was he doing? Had him run it through a Leslie speaker so that that he sounded like he was singing from the top of a high mountain. Now it's got Mellotron in here. It's got sitars. Harrison plays a tambour, and I think that's about it.
Well, there you go. Okay,
oh,
right.
Yeah, Mike. I did say they did reverse guitar in there, so you heard that in the song itself.
Yeah. Good stuff. Okay, well, listen, Rex, I'm going to give you this next one to read. And this is called Yesterday Has Been Forgotten by T. Parry 890. So whenever you're ready.
Okay. Yesterday Has Been Forgotten by T. Parry 898. Am I living? Am I dying? Lyrics summoned up the dead. Voices echo, tantalizing, as my soul was gently led. Born of mesmerizing couplets, satisfying weird and slow, yesterday had been forgotten, and tomorrow never knows. Each instruction I would follow with no measure of concern, on a journey of enchantment that could offer no return. Alchemy was given substance, wonder opened up its purse, truth would lead me by the fingertips across the universe. Ignorance and hate were muted, dreamskin images ensued. Sense was stranded in the shadows and was being misconstrued. I was gifted with this sermon. Mr. Lennon went to town, seen suggested burnt his bridges, and the sky came tumbling down. End poem.
Nice read.
Zach, what do you think?
Oh, wow. Talk about, like, the afterlife pervading throughout during the first stanza and then opening up to the source of the universe across it, and then just sort of amplified destruction, compression at the end with the apocalypse, kind of bringing more to line of, like, Bob Dylan or Along the Watchtower, the Jimi Hendrix version a little bit. Very well done.
Thank you, Zach. Gene? How about you?
I loved the piece. I thought it was a great take on the prompt, and I thought there was a lot of wonderful music references throughout. So it was clever and well written. But I want to tell you, we have another caller. And my psychic abilities is saying to me it might be Dexter. Could that be true?
Oh. His.
Dex.
Hey. It's great to hear from you again.
His. I'm glad I could be here again.
Yeah.
I thought that this was a fantastic piece. Kind of, it really captured the romantic side of tomorrow in a lot of ways, right? Because it's summoning about what could be from the universe that could be possibly for me for tomorrow. And could my todays be changing tomorrow? You know, ignorance and hate were muted. I feel like there is such an enchantment about tomorrow that is captured in that song by the Beatles, Yesterday. Because it feels like if I would have done this yesterday, all of these things in my life would have possibly been changed. And we could all say that. And
yeah.
So there's that same romantic side to it about tomorrow. So I thought that this was a fantastic piece.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. All right, Gene. What about you?
Well, I told you I liked it before I introduced Dex.
easily. Listen, we also have another caller. I believe this is Michael Mihalas. Is that correct,
yes,
Michael?
This is Michael Mihalas. How are you doing?
Hello, Michael.
Doing well, thanks for joining us.
Hello. How you doing? How's everybody? I just joined in.
Yes, we appreciate that. We like when people call in help us reading comment. I especially appreciate the reading part.
Yeah, I always enjoy reading poetry and giving reviews whenever I can.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate that. And Dex, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece. And this is called I'm sorry. I'll be good. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself.
I got to start with the title. Yesterday has been forgotten. He's offering that implication of if you don't remember your history, then you are doomed to failure in repetition. If you forget what was yesterday brought, then tomorrow will end up being just a repeat of what was done before. And he hits on three songs in here. First off, yesterday, and then again, tomorrow never knows the song he chose to write to. Plus, Across the Universe, which came out on Let It Be. Mm-hmm. Now the idea of this hits that, am I living, am I dying? Lyrics summon up the dead, voices echo tantalizing, as my soul was gently led. Born of mesmerizing couplets, satisfied, weird, and slow. Yesterday had been forgotten, and tomorrow never knows. There's that idea again. Are we in peril? Are we in peril? Because we forgot about yesterday. Now the idea of a journey of enchantment that could offer no return. Alchemy was given substance, one to open up its purse. Truth would lead me by the fingertips across the universe. And he said that the falsehoods that are being offered, whereas we should be looking at the truth behind the falsity that is offered. Now the back end of this, Mr. Lennon went to town, seemed to just have burned his bridges, and the sky came tumbling down. Mm-hmm. Strong piece, G. Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Sorry about the erection. Yeah, absolutely. Dax, I'm going to ask you to read the next piece since you just got here. Everything revolves around the sun. And this is by Guilty.
Hey, this is Guilty, and everything revolves around the sun. Rest your conviction and put down your gun. A chamber full of bullets never helped no one. Relax your consciousness, and now you've begun. Realize you're part of the larger sum, and everything revolves around the sun. No matter how large the world seems, believe we are connected like a rooted tree. All branches sprouted beautiful leaves. We can float together in the warm breeze. All you would need to believe, all you would need is to believe. We can live in harmony. We can live in harmony. And everything revolves around the sun. And the sun rays reaches everyone. We all need the air to breathe. The choice to be, believe, is free. Let go of your ego. It is out of control. Burdens you with worry, a hole in your soul. Free your ID and escape the black hole. Worry, depression, and fear will all show. To the paper tigers blown in the wind, then your true spirit will win. And everything revolves around the sun. And everything revolves around the sun. End poem.
Great read, Dex. Thank you very much. And Michael, why don't we start with you, please? Michael, you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry. I have to.
That's all right.
I had to put mute off, but I got you. I like this poem. I think I like the use of imagery in this poem, but they talk about the trees and the sun, sun rays. All these are important words to help you to visualize what you're reading and what you're trying to convey in the message. I thought it was written pretty well. I wouldn't change anything. I also like the use of repetition. You know, and everything revolves around the sun, and everything revolves around the sun. One other thing is, I'm looking at the end of the poem, and it looks like it was inspired by a Beatles song or something, or I'm not sure. But if it is, that's pretty cool. Because I do like the Beatles, even though they're a little bit before my time. But, you know, I can appreciate that. And so that's pretty much what I think of the poem. And just keep on writing. You did a great job.
Thank you, Michael. And Zach, how about you?
Loved it. Implication of giving peace a chance by dropping the gun that does more dividing than connecting. The sun bringing us all together, finding common ground. Great idea, like a through line through everything. Great idea of the life-giving sun, and there is truth there. And sort of the paper tigers kind of swaying in the breeze, give it a kind of like a Lion King-esque feel to it, kind of like the sky opening up and the sun kind of breaking down its dark clouds. And beautiful, beautiful. Well done.
Thank you, Zach. Gene. What about you?
Yeah, well, I think that Guilty did a wonderful job with this. It was well penned and well expressed. Good take on the prompts, of course, you know. I liked his use of the repetition, and everything revolves around the sun. And everything revolves around the sun. It almost gives me that image in my head of these words circling the sun. I don't quite know why. Maybe, well, I'm still a good girl. I don't know Dr. Robert at all. Anyway, so, I mean, I picked up the last two stanzas and two couplets, and I think it was a fine job by Guilty, and I want to thank him for sharing with us tonight. Well done, and enjoyed.
Nice, Gene. Dex, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this was an incredible piece for a lot of ways, because, yes, everything does revolve around the sun, you know, but no matter how large our world seems, right, it's small, right? It is small in the large macrocosm, or whatever you want to say, of everything, you know? It all is small. But it's beautiful all the way down to every leaf. And we can live in harmony. You know, we can live in harmony. I love those two lines that we had, because it is possible, because we are just a speck. This almost comes down to, who am I thinking of? From the large pale dot, or from the small pale dot. I can't think of his name. Let your ego go, let it go. We're a very small piece on the eternal sun. So, very well done, and I thought that this was an incredible piece. Bob Saget, or not Bob Saget, what's his name? What was the guy's name that did Tom Saget.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Dan.
Anyway,
that's all right. This seems to mirror the thought of the song itself. Tomorrow never knows. Can arrest your conviction and put down your gun. A chamber full of bullets never helped no one. Relax your consciousness and now you've begun. Realize you're a part of a larger sum. And everything revolves around the sun. I like that middle line. Relax your consciousness, and now you've begun. It's that note to a spiritual journey. The opening two lines hit on that sort of wars. And if everybody just put down their weapons, then there wouldn't be a need to, as the effort goes, destruction, the open destruction. And then he Ibsen walks into the idea of the world seems to believe we are connected like a rooted tree. All branches sprout of beautiful leaves. We can float together in the warm breeze. All you need is to believe the idea there can be peace. Because we can live in harmony. We can live in harmony. The idea that human nature is rooted as part of the earth itself. And that's true. And then that offering up, everything revolves around the sun. The sun rays reaches everyone. We all need air to breathe. The choice is to believe is free. Again, note, the idea of if you just believe in something, but if you have the opportunity to believe, the choice is easy. And then that note, important, let go of your ego. It is out of control. Burdens you with worry, a hole in your soul. Free your idea and escape the black hole. Worry, depression, and fear will all change. I like those ones. Yeah. Nicely done, Guilty, and thank you very much.
Absolutely. I don't know what I did, but I screwed that up. I don't know. I'm going to be quiet now. Michael, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece. This is called Tomorrow of Beginning by Myriad Dark. So let me find the room. And here we go. It's ready when you are.
Sure. Let me click onto the link.
Absolutely.
Let me go ahead and read it to the best I can. The title poem is Tomorrow of Beginning. Breathe in the sky. Let your head float in a dream. Feel the music. Let it flow. Let it flow. Speak in colors. Touch the vibrations. There is magic in the spheres all around you. The orb of knowledge embraces you. Can you read the signs? Heed their vibes? Love is an action of sight and emotion. Let it soothe you, move on through you. Until all is revealed and everything is healed, so as it is written, let it flow into the void. Listen to beating of your heart. It is the voice of clouds. Let it enfold you. Let it embolden you. So it as is, it has always been, you are the living dream and a true beginning, a new beginning. A true beginning, a new beginning. A true beginning, a new beginning. A true beginning, a new beginning.
Great read, Michael. Thank you very much. And Dex, why don't we start with you?
Well, I first want to say what a fantastic read. Was that Michael, is that your first read?
I just read it. Yeah, my name is Michael Mihalas.
Was that your first read on the show?
No, I've read poems in the past on this show. I've only come on the program occasionally. But when I read, I consider it like a performance whenever I read somebody's poetry.
You did a fantastic job there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment.
So I wanted to make sure that you knew that you did it. But Myriad definitely has a great job of writing couplets here also. Tomorrow of Beginnings, right? There's this enchantment of what could be, you know. Love is an action. It's almost this idea of us being able to look back and reconcile, but also be able to try and use what we learned from looking back to look forward. You know, a true beginning, a true, you know, we would all love for this to be the case, and it always is the case for tomorrow, right? There is always a new beginning, and we can always look back on our faults and what we've learned. And so I thought that this piece brought this to action. So very well done.
Thank you, Dex. Zach, how about you?
A very oral feeling to this, touched with the inner and outer colors, kind of healing, and the inner void, kind of felt like being healed through another oscillating void. Really done, really well done read and write. Kind of felt like the past and the present overlapping to spring forward into the wild unknown future. Really well done.
Thank you, Zach. Gene, how about you?
I like this piece by Myriad. I usually do like his work. A lot of times when I see it, it's usually dark, though. And this is not the case here. You know, I thought it was nicely penned. And again, you know, they were all good takes on the prompt, so I have to always say that. But love is an action of sight and emotion. Let it soothe you, move on through you, until all is revealed and everything is healed. So as it is written, let it flow into the void. Listen to beating of your heart. It is the voice of clouds. Let it enfold you. Let it embolden you. So it's almost like, you know, you're putting it out there in the universe. You know, you're going to make it happen by saying it's true. And I think that's wonderful. I'm not knocking that. I'm not. But, yeah, and those last five lines I thought were really well done. I love the repetition at the end. So great job, Myriad, and thank you so much for sharing, as always. Great job. Enjoyed.
Thank you, Gene. Michael, you got to read it. What do you think?
I like the repetition also, and I like the use of the sights and the sounds and the feelings that were used. So it kind of awakened some of your senses, such as speaking in colors or touching the vibrations or breathing in the sky. Those kinds of terms that were used were really put you into the poem. It really makes you become a part of the poem that where you normally wouldn't feel like it makes you feel like you're the star of the poem because you're reading it, and it just gives you that vibe, that feeling. And I just like the use of that. The orb of knowledge embraces you. Can you read the signs, see the vibes? That's pretty good. And the seer, I just like it overall. I thought it was written pretty good, and whoever wrote this, did a great job. So that's it.
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. You're right. There's a touch of surrealism in this, and it speaks on the interconnectivity of all things. That opening note, breathe in the sky, let your head float in a dream, feel the music, let it flow, and speak in colors, touch the vibration. There is that a kind of note there to the originality of the song and its noteworthiness to taking an acid trip, so to speak. There's magic in the spheres all around you. That note, can you read the signs, heed their vibes? It's the idea of looking deep within and seeing creativity that binds everything. I did like that idea. Love is an action of sight and sound. Let it soothe you, move on through you. That offers up the idea of, rolls into the next one, everything is healed. So as it is written, let it flow into the void. That idea of all things can be healed. And if everybody walked on that same note, it would heal everything in nature itself. I like that thought. And then listen to the beating of your heart. It is the voice of clouds. Let it enfold you. Let it embolden you. That note to not just being big-hearted, but having a wealth of love to share and the idea of spreading that love. So, Myriad, well done, and thank you very much.
Amen, amen.
Okay, back on you.
Yeah, we have one more write that goes with this particular song, and this is called Poetry Evolving by Weaver of Dreams, and I have an audio on this one, so give me 2 seconds. Here we go.
Turn off your phone and write a little poem. Trying, don't stop trying. Put down the words and not be shy, people. Is it rhyming? Is it rhyming? One day you might find your poetry in print. Is it selling? Is it selling? So for a few months you will be well known. Autograph writing, autograph writing. Then your book is on the bottom shelf. They're not buying. They're not buying. Your second book is proving hard to write. Publisher screaming. Publisher screaming. You change your name and then you run away. A new beginning. A new beginning. A new beginning.
Great read, Kate. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene, what do you think?
First, I think I have to hit the mute button because I wasn't expecting it. I just, this is a great piece by Kate, and it had a real sweet lyrical way about it. I mean, I've never heard Kate sing a piece before, and I think she did a nice job. It had the wonderful lilt in her voice, you know, just brought it to life. And, you know, that's really the way that it goes. You write poetry, and some people buy it, and it sells, and then all of a sudden it ends up on that bottom shelf, and you're back to the beginning all over again, it seems. But I thought it was really a lovely piece. Absolutely. So thank you, Kate, for sharing that with us. I mean, I like the recording very much, and you did a nice job.
Nice. Thank you, Gene. Zach, how about you?
Oh, really well done. This read like the ultimate hype storm for any writer, such a yearning for another person to start over and do their thing with writing. There's such a wonderful elegance to the words and the voice with the vibrato. Really well done, Katie.
Excellent. Dex, how about you?
Yeah, I thought this piece was very well done. And I also think that it lends its hand to the pressure that some of the Beatles felt to writing their poetry, right? Because this is not almost a pressure that any of, at least I don't know, maybe Rex is a superstar, but that any of us feel, right, that we're autograph signing or anything like this, right? So, but to perform, the pressure to perform, the pressure to put out the next one, right? And so this is a tribute almost to the fact that the Beatles could put out the next one, and they were that good. So very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Dex. And Michael, how about you?
I thought it was a little funny. I don't know if it was intended to be a little humorous, but I found it to be humorous in certain parts. I can truly relate to this poem's message about, you know, the stages that a person can go through when they're trying to write poetry and get it published and all that stuff. So I just really related to it, and that's what made it kind of fun for me to listen to. So whoever wrote it did a great job.
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. This matches up with the song itself, the way she wrote out her voice and then sang it too. But the idea that she got into it, as you said, Dex, pressure, autograph writing, then your book is on the bottom shelf. That means, hey, it's not moving. Then they're not buying. Your second book is proving hard to write. Because the pressure's on, you know you've got to put something out. Your publisher's screaming, because the deadline is coming up and you haven't put anything out for them to even acknowledge the fact that there's something coming. So it does hit on that idea, whether it's writing song, writing music, writing poetry, writing books, there's always that pressure, that note of, come on, you got to keep producing. Come on, we don't got time for writer's block here. You got to put out, so to speak. And that idea of change your name and then you run away, a new beginning, that does offer up, you know, all right, yeah. Because, hey, look at that. Stephen King wrote under Richard Bachman as well as his own name, putting out the same books but under two names.
Yeah.
Did well with that.
Absolutely.
Nice, Katie. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, Rex,
yep.
The thing is, we have 8 minutes.
Yes.
So if I'm going to pull anything, I'm going to pull one song with one poem, because I think that makes
sense.
Okay,
that's fine.
So what I'm going to do is we're going to do Here, There, and Everywhere. And, yeah, let me grab that one. And here goes.
To lead a better life, I need my love to be here.
His inspiration for the song came from the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds track, God Only Knows, which in turn, Brian Wilson had been inspired to write after repeatedly listening to Rubber Soul.
Absolutely. Well, how about it? Now, Rex is going to bring me to you for the closing poem, and this is called
okay.
Feeling Somewhere by Lockdown Larks.
Feeling Somewhere by Lockdown Larks. There I was, and inside alone, wondering and wandering, minding my own, life and time squandering. Suddenly, my heart's in a spin. With this flowing strawberry blonde hair, she stops a moment and climbs in. Now the inside is feeling somewhere. From the very start, she climbed into my heart. Time then flowed on from Destiny Bay, as sand dances and sings its songs, to the sea swing and sway, an inside feel that it belongs. There is no need for a word, no questioning the reason why. Who needs to be heard when you see eye to eye? From the very start, she climbed into my heart. Every day, loving more, I swear, I want to fly to the stars and beyond, and every day I want to share forever with my strawberry blonde. Hold me and I'll fly for you too. Keep hearing our music and dance. One look, and the eyes tell me you do still feel the flowing of our romance. From the very start, she climbed into my heart. End poem. Ooh. Dex, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought that this was an incredible write, actually, because it's actually in contrast from like what we've been talking about yesterday or tomorrow, it's actually like the ultimate of living in the moment, like crawl into my heart right now. And she is, we're living in this moment right now. and how much did I love her. And it just oozes out of this piece, and I thought it was a fantastic job.
Nice, Dex. Thank you. Michael, how about you?
I do like the lyrical quality of this poem. The rhymes are great. The rhythm is good, too. I like the repetition used with from the very start, she climbed into my heart. And this is inspired, I guess, by another Beatles song or something. I'm not too familiar. But anyways, I thought it was well made. I like the rhyme, like the word beyond, rhyming with strawberry blonde or dance with romance. Just clever little things like that just enhance the poem and make it even better. So that's what I liked about it. And I guess that's it in review.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Zach, how about you?
Sublime. It reminded me of my favorite song to come out during the 2010s, which is Vomit by Girls. It's an indie tune. Now, the inside is feeling somewhere for me was the part where it began to unravel with the strawberry blonde hair, which is the initial kicker of that wonderful romance. It was very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Zach. Gene, I know you got something for this. Unmute.
I was. I'm sorry. Not at the end of the show. I can't be doing that. I thought it was beautifully done. I love the story that he told. I thought it was well expressed. And I also like the rhyme and meter of the piece along with this. That story was great in here. And each one of the stanzas was very well done. And I loved how he broke it up with that repeat from the very start into my heart. Anyway, great job, Lockdown Larks, and thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, Larks did a great job with it. And I got to say, the song itself was a favorite of his when he was a kid. And he says, who the thunk he'd be writing lyrics for it all these years later. This kind of hits the idea of a tribute to his wife of many years and how they have been living in the moment, as this song is about living and loving in the moment. And not letting a second tick by without understanding each other. So, Larks, thank you very much. We're at the back end of the show. So, great Gene, Joe, thank you very much. Great show, Gene, thank you very much.
Well done.
Zach, Dex, and Michael, thank you for coming on board to help us read and comment. And Rosie, thank you for the board. Much appreciated. And we're going to do we have a few rollovers that we will do part two next week. And enjoy some more of the lovely Beatles tunes from 1966. So,
excellent topic, Rex. Great show.
Oh, I had a lot of fun with this. And the writes have been great. So looking forward to the rest.
Me too. So next week we will do this again. And you guys, thanks for calling in. Dex, it was great to hear from you as always. Michael, it was good to hear from you. Zach, thanks for hanging out with us all night. Great job.
Night. All right, gang.